Okay, the Lord said there will be a day that is coming where my people will worship me in spirit and in truth. It's a real deal. So he's telling us that in fact there is a possibility of just worshiping the Lord with flesh. And that ultimately is not honoring to him. He's looking for those who will worship in spirit and in truth. Search that out in your own life and find out if you have made it to that place. I read earlier out of 1 Peter chapter 5. Would you turn there, please? We're going to look at verse 6 again, which is one that I already read. But let me just do a quick review of what we talked about last week. The place that we're heading this Sunday has to do with the door frame into the kingdom. The opening into the kingdom and how low the door frame of the kingdom of God really is. And how much we have to find ourselves participating in his kingdom at that particular level. I read to you out of Isaiah last week. Isaiah 55, and those of you who were here, you'll remember that when I read these verses. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? It's an amazing invitation. The Lord has opened up my heart so much in the last several weeks about just these verses. The Word of God is so rich and so endless in the way that you can absorb the presence of Him who is King. As I described these verses to you last week, I described to you a king who came down as a common salesman in the marketplace. That's the image I get when I read these verses. I can imagine the commerce of men. I can imagine people trying to sell their wares and their items and their inventory. And here, this amazing God that we have comes down as a common salesman to get rid of his inventory. But the secret that I told you last week was the difference in the Lord is he is offering himself as the product, if it were that way, if I could describe it that way to you. He's offering himself. He is the inventory, looking for those who will come and looking for those who will buy. The interesting thing of his presentation is he is saying to the multitudes, because it is me that I give you, there is no riches in heaven and on earth that you can find to use in payment for who I am. It levels the playing field. Oh, does it level the playing field? That's why it's not an invitation just to the rich. In those who have. Because your money is no good to a king who is everything. It's such a foundation of core Christianity to get what it is that I'm talking about. Because it's so foundational in my life. If I recognize what it is that he offers, and I recognize how little I have to give, it creates a worshiper. When I recognize also that I don't have anything to give, but I have such a great need of who he is in my own life. How sad is it that so many never make it to that place? One of the things we're going to be talking, two of the things that I'm going to address quite a bit this morning is two words, humility and pride. Of course, they stand in opposition of one another. But I really believe that the Lord wants us to see, even as it has to do with last Sunday's message, that as long as you have pride, you will never come to the one who is offering himself. You will never come. Why? Because you're self-sustaining. You've got enough in your own right to take care of things yourself. This whole idea of pride is something that we're going to discuss for a bit. I have a video that I want to show you that really puts it strongly in place. It solidifies the message as we look at it. It shows us in this video clip how elusive it can be to the one who has pride, and we can carry it around and not even recognize its presence sometimes. You know, it's never been my bent to come into this place and just to weight you down. But my responsibility to you and to me is that we understand the truth for what it is. And if the believer wants to be set free, and free indeed, we will find every place that the enemy finds so much power within our own lives. In my text, in 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." There is something that stands in opposition to the humility of the Christian person, man, woman, child, and it's this word called pride. It's so natural to the fallen man that it's like a weed that pops itself up in a watered garden, absolutely seemingly impossible to get rid of. Many of you who have done gardens, you know what that feels like. You work up the ground, you do the rototiller, you look at that fresh ground, and you're looking at it and saying, "Wow, there's something I can work with." And you plant your nice little rows, you put your crop in, you have an anticipation of its growth, and you look, and here among those plants is something else that you thought you dealt with. And in this case, I'm calling it pride. You kill it, what happens? It seems to revive. It's amazing how somebody works so hard to establish a lawn, right? You know what I'm talking about? And you, if untaken care of, you go out there 5 years later and it's what? Weeds, you know. Crabgrass. How many of you have crabgrass lawns? Yeah. That's the way it works. You try and bury it, and all of a sudden this thing called pride, it's resurrection. It's a sin, and it's a foundational sin that seems to have 1,000 different lives, and it seems to take 1,000 different shapes. That's the thing that is so difficult about this one particular sin, is it seems to morph itself. Once you think you've got it, once you think you've trapped it, once you think you got it locked in the corner, you kill it right there. And then it shows up in another corner, doesn't it? It's elusive for sure. In the beginning, mankind imagined that they knew better than their creator itself. In the garden, this whole thing started. We would like to pick on Adam and Eve, but probably if it wasn't them, it would have been me, you know, or maybe even you. I don't know, but somehow this thing called pride was going to make its way to separate creation from creator. And I believe that this particular word is so powerful in the way that it destroys lives that it's something that's I call the foundational sin. You can look into the life of Cain. You can look into the life of Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar. You can look into that king's life and you can read the words and it drips with this sin at so many different levels. And until God had the opportunity to break the man down, there never was any possibility in their lives. I believe it's so dastardly in its hate towards God that if it were possible for any of these ones that I mentioned and much more, Cain and Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar, all the way up to today, those who stand so vehemently against our Creator. You have those who consider themselves to be atheists, but look at this rage that they have towards the idea of a creative God. It's a rage that comes from this foundation. I'm telling you that if any of these people, if it was possible at all for them to murder God, they would take his throne away from him. I mean, that's how evil this particular thing is, and the way that it stands in hostility towards God in its full-grown measure. But then there's that seed that keeps itself scattered among even God's people. And that's what makes it difficult. And I think that what the Lord wants to do is use me this morning to just send out the alarm to each one of us, pastor included, to be on guard. And you start watching very intently with the help of the Holy Spirit and see, in fact, if you are not already a victim of this particular sin. Maybe it's already happened. Maybe it's already happening now. I thought this morning, if it was, I don't know what it looks like in the mind of God, but how many of you remember in school where they'd come in, the dentist guy would come in with the little tablet that you'd chew on, and it'd show you where the junk was, it'd turn red where the bacteria was. Remember that? Can you imagine if God gave us a spiritual pill right now for pride? And all of a sudden we would turn purple or something? Oh, man. That wouldn't be any fun, would it? But nonetheless, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal those things in us, not for the sake. Why did the dentist do that? I mean, why did they come into the school? Was it for the sake of humiliation? No. Did they parade different children up to the front and say, let's use this as an example? They bring Dan Corser up front and say, look it, this boy needs to start brushing. It wasn't for the sake of humiliation, it was the sake of identification, wasn't it? It was to help them understand how these things come in, and what they want to do is destroy and take away something that's good. And I'm suggesting to you that that's exactly what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do this morning in our hearts. And I believe that it's like that unseen rust or that virus that never has an opportunity to show its own symptoms yet. It can lay seemingly dormant in the spirit and the soul of an individual, but it waits for a perfect opportunity to show its best. But I believe also that it's never so grieving to God as it when it's found in his own children, in his church. And that's something we can do something about. And I illustrate that by saying, you know, if somebody that you, an acquaintance, comes to you and tells you that they're sick and that they've got something going on in their bodies, you can be sympathetic towards that. Can't you? But for those of you who are parents and you find out that your child has something going on in them, doesn't it take your grief to a whole new level? I'm suggesting to you that God's heart grieves when he sees pride being a sin that holds captive his children. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble is what the word says. He resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Think about it. A sovereign God that wants to assist the humble but resist the proud. You will either be assisted by God or you will be resisted by God. It's true. I want you to see where this is coming from, because I didn't read to you the previous verses starting with verse 1, but I want you to see this. I want you to see What the context of this particular verse is in respect to what Peter is addressing, look at verse 1, 1 Peter chapter 5. To the elders among you I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wanted you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then he exhorts, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And this is the essence of where we're going. In this case, this sermon starts from the pulpit out, because he's talking about elders. He's talking about those within the church structure that long to be influential in other people's lives. Humility in the church. From leaders up. I could have said that from leaders down. But I want to talk to you for a minute about the fact that God is upside down. God's upside down, isn't he? I know you're waiting to see what the heck I'm talking about. What do you mean God's upside down? It's let me tell you. It's us that's. But I'm saying everything that we perceive sometimes is up is down, down is up, and vice versa. Because my example would be leadership. How do you gain influence and authority over people's lives? You climb up, right? That's not the kingdom. That's not the kingdom. It's not what's been given as an example by Christ. It's not what his church is supposed to look like. But I'm saying there's a drive within us to posture ourselves in that way. And so that's what I'm saying to you. He's kind of flipped over. He's flipped over. I'm not saying he's messed up. But he's upside down or downside up or however you want to say it. In God's kingdom, when we climb up the ladder, you actually go down. Do you believe me? Do you believe me? I mean, I realize it sounds like a fun thing to say, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. The farther you climb up, the lower you go. Thus the reason for the title that I give you, and that is the door frame into the kingdom is low. That's what we're working with. What he's talking about, Timothy addresses this. He says, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. But see, that noble task is not for one of prominence and power and position in the kingdom. Exactly opposite of that. Again, it's flipped all over. It's a choice. It is a choice. Never to make it our aim as those who find yourself leaders in some form. Let me take it outside of the church for a minute. Let me take it into the home. Let me take it into the workplace. Let me take it into the culture. But certainly this morning we have the church that we can address and deal with this from a broader perspective. I'm not suggesting to you that this pastor has identified particular problems in the church, and so now what I've got to do from the pulpit is kind of manage the church from here and kind of bend us around. No, this is a message to every single one of us to be on guard for this foundational sin that, oh boy, it wants to have its way. But for us to position ourselves or desire to be an overseer because I want to be highly valued among other Christians, or perhaps just a simple influence that I want to have over somebody else. It won't work, is what I'm telling you. It will not work. It will paralyze you. You will work hard and not attain anything. I'm telling you, in fact, the difference is I'm to think so high of others that what it does is my opinion of myself becomes balanced. That's how it looks in a spiritual way. I know that that's what you long for to see in my life personally, and sometimes I don't do that so well, and pride will get the best to me, but I ask God all the time to help me with this thing. But I'm talking about this balance, because I could have worded it like this in my notes. I should have said, I am to think of others, I am to think so highly of others that my opinion of myself should go low. That seems like the natural way to put that, but I felt like that was wrong. And so I literally reworded it in my notes to say, I am to think so highly of others that my opinion of myself should stay balanced. There is a difference. And that difference is, I believe that in Christ, I have value. I believe that in Christ I have purpose. He's proved that to me by what he did on the cross for my sake. The problem is not the value side. The problem would be that I would think of myself more highly than I should. And I'm saying the invitation for me to lift you up keeps my life in check and in balance. You ought to try it sometime. You ought to try it. Try it at home. Try it in the workplace. Give this experiment. There is, write this down. This is my homework for the week. My homework for the week is to lift others up. Not that I would be pressed down to nothingness, but that my perception of myself could become balanced by the move of the Holy Spirit. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. How many of you are going to try it? And I know what it is. The rest of you are already doing it. Right? You're turning purple. So here's some things I want to address to the church, to the body. The first is this beautiful invitation of humility that God has called us to. Humility in the church is a willingness to take on a very low position. It seems strange that we would ever encourage anybody to do that. In the church or in the home, in society, there is a genuine humility, I guess is what I'm trying to say, that makes a person know it's a great honor to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. I'm not just talking about greeting somebody as they come in the church. It's a condition of our own attitude in our heart. It's not necessarily a position in the church, in the congregation. Because I think somebody can have that heart of servitude, and they find themselves active at so many different levels in the body of Christ, not just in the church structure. My privilege is I get to talk to the church. I get to, my calling is to put this pressure on you to just demand something higher of yourself, I guess. But I am convinced that those unwilling to humble themselves will never truly be used by God. It is that real and that simple. If I continue to allow pride to be a dominating force in my life, I will never truly be used by God. And some would say, you know, that's being pretty harsh, or I'm just telling you, I believe that it's true. I think that humility is a qualification for greatness. The problem is we don't know what that greatness looks like, because in the kingdom, God is up when we think it's down, and he is down when we think it's up. So success, we talked about that earlier before the offering. You know, what is success? Sometimes we struggle with that whole idea. But let me ask you a question. Can you belittle? I know. I always play on words, and that's why you always hesitate in answering. Because the way you would respond, if you heard it the way that I said it, you would say, yeah, I'm pretty good at belittle. Let me try that again. I'm pretty good at belittling people. Belittling, tearing down, humiliating, embarrassing. Are you good at that? But really, that's not what my question was. Tricked you, didn't I? I asked you if you're good at being small. Are you good at being small? Are you good in situations where like I said, you have such a deep desire to build others up around you that you automatically take a posture of smallness, which is not weakness, by the way. In making yourself small, you're learning how to be great in the kingdom of God. I think there's so many examples of that. The word submit comes up, too, in this exhortation that Peter gives to the church. He's talking specifically to the young men in submission. And I'm asking you also that question, because it's tragic what has happened to the whole idea of submission in today's culture, certainly, but all the way into the church as well. It's not the same. It's not the same. In terms of a pastoral role, it doesn't have the same honor that it used to in our culture. This role of pastor used to be an honored thing within our culture. And if you told somebody that you were a pastor, it was almost immediate honor, but not anymore. Matter of fact, most of the time I don't tell anybody what I do for a living. Why? Not because I'm afraid of them or I'm embarrassed about what I do. It's because it changes their language. As soon as they find out what I do, it changes the way they communicate. Before it was bleeping, bleeping, bleeping this and bleeping that. I mean, it is kind of fun, I got to tell you. But pride would make it go that particular direction. But all the way through the scriptures, particularly with our Lord, he is the ultimate example of this idea that I'm talking to you about. Truly, the king was the keeper of the door, and the prince was the one who went and fed the lambs, and all of these illustrations that I can give. But to me, the one that stood out most of all in preparation for this particular sermon was imagining God himself taking a bowl and a towel and bowing down to his own disciples to wash their dirty feet. What is that? And let me ask you this question. Do you think that Jesus Christ, at that moment, was making himself nothing? In no way. Don't you ever forget that Christ was the most powerful one in human flesh that ever walked planet Earth. But he was an amazing restrainer of his own power. And that was humility. He proved that out in a conversation he had with Peter at the time of his arrest. Peter lops off an ear of the soldier, and Jesus says to him, "Son, I'm going to kind of form it to my personality a little bit. What I'm saying, I can see the Lord just wanting to take him by the cheeks and look into his eyes and say, Peter, do you have any idea that I called to my Father in heaven, and he put at my disposal 12 legions of angels. The Lord is saying at this very moment, I could destroy them all with just a word. But he was absolutely saturated with the humility of heaven. What an amazing thing to perceive. And you say that is only something that God could do. I agree with you. You just trapped yourself. Am I putting words in your head? Good. Some would say, Pastor Dan, what you do is brainwashing. Yes. It's exactly what I do. I don't deny that for 1 minute. That's what we do here in this place. So, Spurgeon said this. He said, the fullness of self is double emptiness. That's the truth, isn't it? You will never feel so empty as when you are full of yourself. It's the truth. And you know the irony of all of this is you can identify it in others quickly. Yeah? We identify it in other people like that. But we never turn the mirror towards us, do we? That's the difference. So I don't believe that God will ever fill us unless we are truly a vessel that is available and empty unto him. I think the Lord has spoken something very clear to this pastor. And the Lord is telling me, as long as my mouth is full of my words, they will not be full of his. Ooh. And so I say to him, I beg him all the time, please, Lord, empty me of my own ways and my own will and my own purpose so that you will have access. And as it translates into your life, I'm telling you, as long as you are full of yourself, you will not be full of God in his Spirit. So now you can do something about that. Are you willing to be ignored by others? You ever been asked that question in church? I believe that there's a craving in all of us to be seen, to be known, to be affirmed, to be celebrated, to be all those things. Yes? Am I telling you the truth? Imagine you saying these words, I wish to be unseen. I wish to be unknown. I wish to be unaffirmed. And I wish not to be celebrated, that Christ may be glorified in me. Wow. How about that for a prayer, huh? I don't think I can do it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. I don't think I can do it. Of course, I can't do it in myself. But through Christ, all things are possible. Let me tell you. Having said all these things that I've said, I love the fact that I have seen many in the body doing things for Christ without fanfare or any notoriety at all, expecting absolutely nothing in return. And there are people all over the body of Christ and even in this church that are doing things in the secret place. And I am not going to tell you who they are. I get an opportunity sometimes to peek over the fence because of my role in this church. Sometimes I get to peek over the fence and see those in true humility who are offering themselves to the Lord in the secret place of service in the body of Christ. And I'm not just isolating that to this building. Powerful, powerful things happening in the secret place. Not looking for any points from anybody, but to please their Lord. And I'm telling you, if you and I live on human praise, you will build your entire house on sand. And it will be unstable. Your entire life will look that way. The last thing I want to share with you is this idea of how it works And it's the idea that you become an offering to God. No strings attached. An offering to God. I've already brought up Romans 12. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. That's what that is. No strings attached. Have you done that? He who can do all things without Christ will ultimately end up doing absolutely nothing in their lives. It will dissolve. You know, it truly has to move your heart to a place of sadness for many in our culture, because there's so many people, what we would classify as good people, who are driven to do good things. And they build wealth, and many of them are generous with their giving, and they classify themselves as good people, and all the things that go along with it. But see, you need to understand that truly, if anything is done outside of Christ, it has no foundation at all, and it will just wash away with the current of time. We'll just eradicate it. The things that are done in the humility of the Lord take on such an eternal property to them. And so human abilities without the grace of God just saturating us is only puffed up inabilities. That's all it is. I asked the question in the earlier service, have you ever heard someone boast about something they were terrible at? Have you? You know, they go on and on and on about, no, I don't think I'll use that as an example. Okay, see, that's one of those things where I had words in my mouth and the Lord went, it's going to be of you. It's going to be of you. Really, walking with the Holy Spirit can be that easy, but it's not always that easy for me, because there's a lot of times where I would have just said it. Sorry to admit that, but you're going to have to deal with it, because I have to deal with it. If you are willing to be nothing in human effort, God will make you something very powerful for the sake of his kingdom. So simply put, I asked you these questions. I'm telling you that, first of all, in this beautiful thing called humility, there will be a willingness to take on a very low position. Are you that way? I love to just see that happening right now. I champion some of the people in this building that find themselves in acts of service so often. Right now, we got people in the nursery, and we won't tell them that we've been in here clapping for them. But they don't. And I know the video works in there, but the audio doesn't. Does it? The audio doesn't work in there, so we can talk about them, because we won't puff them up, because they can't hear us. But we have people in our nurseries right now that are giving an act of service. It doesn't mean that they're humble. You thought I was going there. They could be in there griping and fussing that they had to watch your children. I know where you thought this whole thing was going. They could have been the ones that came in and went, "Oh! Darn, I'm on the schedule again." I'll bet there's not been any of you that have ever done that. But I'll bet you the next time you do it, the Holy Spirit's going to go, "What'd you say? Did I catch that?" But having said all that fun stuff, still there are those who go in there. I love to walk by the nursery and see one of our guys, our men, sitting in the middle of the floor with these little urchins climbing all over him. One of the things I've noticed is men are like magnets. in a nursery. It's really cool to watch. I've seen it over and over and over. Taking a posture of humility is an amazing, powerful thing. And I just use that as a visual to help you to understand how powerful the kingdom can be. So the Lord is doing a work in all of us. And I think he's trying to eradicate some of the stuff that is keeping us paralyzed. And I'm saying to you, please find yourself in a place to be willing to be ignored. Stop looking for the fanfare of other people around you. If, in fact, you need the affirmation of somebody else to build you up, it ain't going to be sustaining at all. It never will. Because people are going to fail you. Do you know that? People will fail you. They don't want to. They don't want to. Your spouse doesn't get up in the morning, at least I don't think, and say, you know what? I just got to think of new ways to tear that person down. It's not the intent, is what I'm saying. But sometimes it is the failure. You see what I mean? And so my identity's got to come from the Lord in the affirming presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. And like I said, it's time for the church to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice with no strings attached. Worship team, come on up. And let's deal with this issue in our own lives. In the simplicity of what we're doing here, it doesn't have to be big. And I'm not going to direct you to do anything in particular. Because even from the start, when we were watching the video, I know that there were many of you that were stirred in heart and you've seen identifications in your own life of some of the things you saw on that video. If you didn't realize that the little card in the beginning, it said Man of the Year. That's what the card said. And I'm like, yuck. Is that the way that it looks sometimes in the eyes of the Lord? My activities, my going and coming. And so I feel like this just needs to be an absolute time of the invitation of the humility of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I promise you it's going to be tested today. It's going to be tested. Maybe even by the one who has their arm around you. Maybe. He's done that before, you know. Or maybe the one who preached the sermon, you know. You never know. But I think that there's this beautiful thing, place. There's this beautiful place that the Holy Spirit has shown me that I don't always go in. I want to just kind of rock back and forth sometimes, and it's the place of humility. In the scripture that I read to you, it says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Remember that part of it? Okay, so what is the standard? The standard is how low he puts his hand in your life. That's where you go. Wherever his mighty hand goes, you have to get under that. And that's the way you have to look at life. Sometimes he'll use a boss, he'll use life, he'll use somebody on the freeway, he'll use somebody in your own home. And you got to make a choice as to how low you're going under his mighty hand. Here's the promise. He will lift you up in due time. What is his goal for your life? Absolute success. He wants you to live a life that's powerful in him. Yes, it's true. But until we bow down, he will not have opportunity to lift you up. Now is the time for judgment to begin in the house of God. If the Holy Spirit has a sweeping opportunity to transform our lives and our hearts in this place, we will again start to see the revival that God is calling the church too. We are longing for God's Spirit to move in a powerful way in these last days. We're feeling it in our spirits, aren't we? This is the call to the church, to humble themselves under God's mighty hand.